Morning. Good morning. In our bulletins every week, there's a little, a couple of sentences down on the bottom of page two. Well, the pages aren't numbered, but it's the back of the cover. It says, our mission statement, reaching lost souls in the Oxford Hills region and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. Purpose as a church. Purpose as a congregation. Purpose as children of God is to save souls. Reach out with the gospels. Reach out with the gospel toward people throughout the area, throughout our lives. Goes on saying, serving our fellow man. We serve others. We are living in a sinful society. We're living in a sinful world. And there's suffering because of that sin. And because we have the hearts of Christ, we reach out and try to alleviate some of that suffering. And actively assisting all members in the church to reach heaven. We try to strengthen one another so that we will make it to the end. We save, we serve, and we strengthen. That's our purpose. That's what we're for. It's not what we just gather here in the morning for, just to do this morning once a week. But it's our purpose as belonging to God's people that we're to do this. We help people find the narrow way. Having found it ourselves, we help other people find the narrow gate and enter through it. And then as we're walking through the narrow path that leads to eternal life, we help one another stay on it. We help one another not to fall down and give up. We help one another not to stray off and get lost. We help one another so that we can make it to the end. And this is the aspect of our purpose that I'd like to talk about this morning. The fact that we need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen one another. A lot of times we think, I've heard it said, and not just here, not too much here, because I think most of us here get it. But a lot of different places, a lot of different people would say, well, I went to that church, but I didn't get much out of that. Well, that's not the point. The point is we belong to God's people, and we come here to encourage one another. We have an assignment as God's people to be encouragers of one another. It's not meant to be entertainment. And look, if it's meant to be entertainment, I think maybe you ought to fire me and get somebody else who says things that are a whole lot funnier and that kind of thing. It's not entertainment. We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to help one another to stay on track. And what I have to say is part of that, but our singing, our sharing in song, our sharing in prayers, our visiting afterwards is all part of it. But that's not just it. It's more than that, isn't it? We're in a world where the world, the world view, the way people look at things in this world pushes on us all the time. Don't we? I mean, isn't there a pressure for us always to be conformed to this world, to think the way the world thinks, to act the way the world acts? And it's always me, myself, mine, my rights, my everything. I am my everything. I am my all. And anything that gets in the way is horrible. Isn't that the way the world thinks? And isn't that the way that we're pressured into thinking? And is that the way God made the world? Is that the way God made us? Is that the way God wants us to be? No. We're to be transformed into Christ. And in order to be transformed, in order for us to resist the pressures of this world, in order for us to be more and more like Christ, we have to help one another get there. And I'd like to look at two passages that talk about that. There are tons of passages that talk about it, but I like to look at two and look at some of the implications of those passages. This is not just a Sunday morning exercise. This is a lifetime exercise. This is a life in Christ exercise. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, I'd like to Well, let me read verses 12 and 13, at least to get a little bit of the context. What's happening? In the book of Hebrews, there are Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ who are being tempted to go back to Judaism, to go back to just being Jews. Why? Because they've got persecution coming from their other brother and sisters in Judaism. There's a pull to go back to the old world. Now, we don't have that. We have a pull to go back into the old ways, our old pagan ways, our old worldly ways. But the pull is similar, isn't it? Just because they're having a pull to go back toward Judaism and we have a pull to go back toward godlessness or atheism or whatever ism we were in before, the kind of pull is the same. And the warning is the same. And what the Hebrews writer is saying is, watch out, don't get sucked back to where you came from. Verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We can fall away. We can let go of our grip on Christ. Christ doesn't let go of us. We let go of Him. We can let go of Him. We can wiggle out from between His fingers if we want to wiggle out. But if you don't want to wiggle out, you don't have to, and nobody's going to snatch us from Him. We're not lost. We don't fall away without our own cooperation. Okay? People don't snatch us. It's not their fault. We give up. We get distracted. We start thinking wrong. We start resisting God's will. We start rebelling. And it sneaks up on us. And we have to be careful. He says there, take care, be careful, that we don't start having an unbelieving heart, that we don't let the worms eat away our faith in Christ, our trust in God and who we are and where we're going. Be careful that we don't fall away. How do we do that? Verse 13, encourage one another day by day, day after day, as long as it is still called today, that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today. How long is that? Well, if you're breathing, it's time, right? That's what he's saying here. I've had people say, well, do you really have to go to church three times a week in your church? Well, you get to do that and do this all of the time. You get to. How often are we supposed to be encouraging to one another? All of the time, as long as it's called today. Is it called today? Yeah. Tomorrow will be called today when we get there, right? So as long as we're in a time that's called today, that's when we're supposed to be encouraging to one another. And how often does it happen, though, that we get distracted and and we forget ourselves and we forget the direction that we're going, and we come here and we sing, Jesus is my friend, and then we start tearing one another apart when we get home. Or we start with the backstabbing or slander or some other things at work, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, well, we're conformed to the Lord when we're together in a group, but then when we're apart, it all falls apart. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're meant to be encouraging one another in the right way all of the time. That means when we get home, we're to be encouraging our children to go in the right way, encouraging our wives and our husbands to go in the right way. It means that we're to be strengthening and building and providing spiritual help to one another. Yes, you can give food to somebody who's hungry, but how much more important is to give spiritual food to somebody who's spiritually hungry? I mean, Jesus makes that transition in John 6 very easily, doesn't he? With the people who've been fed, the 5,000 who've been fed miraculously come back the next day or shortly thereafter, and Jesus says, well, you're just here for fish and chips. I'm going to give you food that's going to last into eternity. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? We are to nudge one another to stay on the narrow path. We can't force one another, but we can encourage one another. We can have good words toward one another. We can have words of exhortation. And even words of rebuke sometimes can be edifying, can be building up. I mean, okay, we've got a sill that's getting soft on the side of the building here, okay? Now, for us to fix that, we have to tear out some wood and then put some new wood in. Well, sometimes we need to be rebuked. I mean, sometimes we do have a rotten sill or a leaky roof or something like that as far as our spirit life goes. And we do need to be, you know, given the dummy slap. Hey, boy, wake up, wake up. That's a rebuke, okay? That's what a rebuke is. Reproof is, this is why you need to wake up. And an exhortation is, okay, this is the stuff that you have to put in its place, okay? That's the rebuilding part. And so when we don't have a license just to criticize one another and critique one another and tear one another down for the purposes of making ourselves look good. But if we need to correct one another, we need to do it in the spirit of love, knowing that we're trying to produce something good and right and better. And knowing that we too need a continuing overhaul. We can't just, you know, go looking for specks in other people's eyes and still carry around those planks in our own. We have to be looking out for the spiritual interests of others. As nice as it is and as wonderful it is to look out for the physical needs of other people, people who are down and out, people who are hungry, people who are thirsty, and so on, and it's so wonderful and good, and we're supposed to do it, and we talked about it, how much more so ought we to be concerned toward one another? And whether our spirits are sick, or whether our hearts are hungry, or whether we are suffering under a spiritual load. And we can't just do that. We can't just do that on Sunday mornings. We can't just do that maybe three times a week. It helps. But we need to be in contact with one another on a more regular basis, I think, than we have. We need to participate more and share more with a positive sense of caring for one another. We are God's people. We're marching through a godless land that has all sorts of pitfalls, all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of trials, all sorts of distractions. And we have to work together to keep ourselves focused so that we can reach the end. And so that means we need to be connected and maintain those connections and encourage one another day by day, as long as it's called today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. A lot of times we just quote verse 25 and say, you've got to be here every time the doors open. Well, that's not the point exactly. There's a bigger point, and I want to make the bigger point. verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. There are three lettuces here. We're going to have salad before our potluck. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. Let us hold fast. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The first two deal with our our spiritual reality, our spiritual relationship to Christ, and remembering that we have that and that we need to nourish it and take advantage of it. He's using figures of the temple, and this is appropriate because he's writing to people who used to be Jews. What do we have in Christ? We have what the priests used to have in God, in the tabernacle. They do a sacrifice for their own sins, and the blood would be sprinkled upon them and sprinkled before the altar, and their sins would be washed away with that blood, and they would purify themselves by washing with water from the laver. And after they had done that, they were rendered by God as holy and appropriately able to go into God's presence, into the temple, or into the tabernacle, into the house of God. They were cleaned up, and they had the right to go into God's presence. And what the Hebrews writer is saying here is, as Christians, we have had our sins washed away by Jesus' blood. We've been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. And we have been cleansed every bit as much as those priests have been cleansed. And we have a right to go into God's presence. Why don't we? Why don't we make use of it? Go into God's presence. That's what it's all about. That's where we're going to be in all eternity. We might as well get used to it now, right? Draw near with a sincere heart. God's prepared you to go in there. Go. Draw near to God. Hold fast, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Does God lie? God doesn't lie. God is truth. When He makes a promise, He makes it. He who promised is faithful. Verse 23, he who promised is faithful. Somebody makes a promise and you know that person's faithful. Aren't you confident that it's going to happen? Right? If God promises you forgiveness, if God promises you eternal life, even though you die, you will still live. I mean, that's a promise from God. You believe in me. You trust in me. You seek His kingdom. We follow what He says. We're promised eternal life. Well, hold on to that. That's the confession of our hope, isn't it? I'm admitting my hope, my confession of my hope. I'm speaking it out, and I'm holding on to it. Hold fast to it. Don't give up on it. There's a parallel between what is going on here and what God wants of us as a church, and what went on back in Moses' day. In a way, it's a negative parallel, but it's a parallel. The Israelites were saved out of Egypt. They were delivered from slavery. They were baptized into Moses through the Red Sea, and they came out on the other side, a new nation, preserved for God's own purposes. And they were required to be faithful as they marched through the desert to their promised land. God promised them a new land, a land to live in, that land of milk and honey and inheritance. Well, that's a pattern just like us. We've been freed from sin. We've been baptized into Christ. We've been freed from sin. And now we're walking along this path of life, in this wilderness of life, expecting to receive an eternal inheritance. But we're living in a desert, aren't we? And what do you do to encourage one another? Well, look at what the Israelites did. And do the opposite. Right? What did they do? They turned to other gods. They grumbled and complained. And they moaned and groaned about the taste of the manna. And they staged political coups. And they fought over who was boss. And you look at what the Israelites did and do just the opposite. Because that's just what we have to do. We're in the same situation. Who made it? Who made it from Egypt all the way into Canaan land? Nobody except Joshua and Caleb, right, from the original group. Because they weren't encouraging one another. They were discouraging one another. They were grumbling. They were turning back. They were letting go of the hope of their calling. They weren't drawing near to God, but they were drawing away from God back to Egypt. It's hot out here. It's thirsty out here. And we're better off where we were. Forget this church business. You ever hear that? People saying that? God didn't answer my prayer about this, that, or the other thing, so I'm giving up on Him. But He who promised is faithful. He may not have promised you that job or that promotion or that child or whatever else it is you've been praying for, but He does promise you eternal life if you follow Jesus, and He is faithful. And we need to hold on to that no matter what. And we need to encourage one another to hold on to that. We need to encourage one another to keep drawing near to the one who has the strength. And that's the point. It isn't just be nice to one another. It isn't just cheer up, fellow. Things will get better in the by and by. But we need to be strengthened in our faith. We need to be strengthened in our grip on things. I'm not the only crazy person who believes in Jesus. You know? I'm not the only, quote, Jesus freak around here. It's real. The world will tell us we're crazy. The world will say that we're nuts. But we're not, because God is faithful. And we need to be reminding each other of those things. And helping one another when we start to get shaky about those things. And it isn't just helping one another when we're in financial trouble, but it's also helping one another when we're in spiritual trouble. And giving one another courage, encouragement, and strength. So, let us draw near, let us hold fast, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Hey, let's keep going. Let's keep going. This is the right way to do it. And to be reminded of what's the right way. Be reminded of what God did for us. And how do we do that? Well, it's not by forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some. You can't encourage anybody if you never see them. You can't encourage anybody if you never talk to them. You can't encourage the church if you only show up on Easter. And folks were doing that back then. Nothing much has changed, right? But we're supposed to be encouraging one another when? As long as it's called today. Let's consider how to do that. Not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're facing a judgment day. We're facing a time when we'll face the Lord and our journey is going to be over. So hey, let's get with it. Let's get on the stick here and start helping one another. It all doesn't come through the preacher. It all doesn't come through the elders. It all doesn't come through the deacons. Each and every one of us who belongs to Christ needs to be reaching out and helping. That we ought to, in our friendships with one another, in our relationships with one another, be helping one another make it to heaven. And that's why it's on our mission statement. Right at the bottom of our mission statement, the statement, actively assisting members in the church to reach heaven. We help people find the narrow gate. We help people stay on the narrow path. That's our mission. And that's our challenge. I'm not saying I do this perfectly. I don't think any of us does it perfectly. But let's get our focus right and let's start looking to find ways that we can help one another. That we can give, and you know, we're never as heard a discouraging word. Well, that ought to be us, not just home on the range, you know. Let's consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not just here as we gather together, but as we go about our daily life, as we reach out to one another in our daily lives. We're in this together. Let's be together in it. That's what hospitality has. There's hospitality. There's communication. There are many, many, many ways in which we can interrelate And we need to be thinking about how we can do that. And this is my encouragement to all of us this morning. Be a help. Be a strength to your brothers and sisters. If you need the prayers of the saints, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, or have other requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.